people were screaming.
Yeah, it's intense.
Like, yelling, telling the guy who's Tyler's fighting, like, break him down, rip off his leg. I had to go to the bathroom so many times. I don't know if it was anxiety.
It happened with everybody.
I must have gone to the bathroom six times.
It happened with me until now.
But I peed so much that I was like, how did I have so much liquid in my body? I entered my first jiu-jitsu tournament. We're going to get into that today. But first, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, Always Evolving, please click to subscribe. And I would love it if you rated it. So thank you for tuning into this. And I have two people with me who were a part of that tournament that I was in. Tony Direct showed up and videotaped it. And Caesar, who's my jiu-jitsu coach, was there as well. So we're going to have that conversation about how the tournament went, how the hell did I do, and what we were expecting going down there and what ended up happening.
Let's do it.
Thanks for joining us, Caesar.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Yes. And Caesar, you're from Brazil.
I'm from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, more specifically from Nilópolis. Yeah.
Are you from the favelas or no?
Yeah, from a favela. Yeah, it's like where I live, it's like you can't tell where is favela and where is not because it's like everything mixed.
Yeah, favela is basically like poor. It makes the poor neighborhoods of the USA look like five-star.
Oh, yeah. Homeless
shelter. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty rough in Brazil. And I know that Caesar, moved out here, and I met him because I trained with Cobrina. And Caesar's been instrumental over the past year, in terms of getting my jiu-jitsu game on track. But I thought it'd be helpful first just to kind of talk about, like, what is jiu-jitsu?
So jiu-jitsu, the jiu-jitsu we're talking about, it's a martial art created by a Brazilian family because we do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is first created in Japan. So Brazilian family learn with Japanese and they adapt from themselves because there's one brother who was really skinny and the other brothers was kind of strong and they never let they train with them because, oh, you're so skinny. Yeah. We're going to hurt you. And he was always like watching all the training sessions. And there's an episode that like everybody went on a trip and there was just one brother and this skinny one. And he wanna like train and like, I can train. I have been watching you guys for so long. And he developed the watch we're training today. That's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that he used the leverage. What it is, he used the opponent's force against themselves. So it makes able to the skinny guy fight with the bigger guy.
Yeah, basically like a skinny guy could dominate a bodybuilder.
Yes.
Like a guy
who's
5'5", 120 pounds, 130 pounds. If they're good at jiu-jitsu, they would dominate someone who's my size, which is 6'5", 270 pounds. Mm. And all through technique. Mm. And essentially, jiu-jitsu is a sport where in order to win, you either need to win by submission, which means that someone is afraid that they're going to get a bone broken or a ligament torn, and so they tap.
Or are they like being choked, almost like sleeping?
Unconscious,
and they tap first. You have to make their tap or by points.
And then in practice, people will tap pretty quickly. When you're in a tournament, sometimes you're kind of waiting a little longer to tap because you're like, I came all the way down here. It's all going to be over if I tap. And that's where a lot of people get hurt too, right?
Exactly.
Is it like a pride thing? Like they just do not want to like look like a quitter or?
They just don't want to give up. They want to still fighting. They like, you're in a competition. You train like sometimes months for that competition and you see yourself getting caught in some like that knee and you're like, I don't think it's, I can't escape from this.
Go, yeah. Like,
I can do the comeback, you know, I can escape from here and get him, make him tap. What's really like, for who's looking outside is like, bro, tap?
Yeah, or you're going to break your arm or something.
You're going to break your arm.
Yeah, or you're going to like seriously hurt yourself. And then if you don't tap and you're knocked out unconscious, then you can't compete the rest of the day. And so like it's, but on top of that, it's an amazing sport for mobility, self-defense, flexibility. It's one of the few sports that I've participated in my life where you're completely in the moment. And if you're not in the moment for 1 second, you're almost a second behind. And so it's pretty cool. I find it's even better for me than therapy today because it releases anxiety, frustrations, and there's a really cool community of people. You can do it anywhere in the world. A lot of people get intimidated by doing martial arts because they think that they're going to get hurt. But if you're going to a good gym where you're practicing, all it does is get you in better shape, better confidence, some new friends,
new habits. Like you start to eating healthy because you realize if you're just eating like junk food, your gas tank, we're going to run out and you're going to get caught lots of times in training. Like, wait, what I can do to like improve my gas tank, my performance in jiu-jitsu, because you don't want to like just get caught every training.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And it's like anything where, like going to a therapist, every gym is different and every professor's different. And I had done a lot of jiu-jitsu, maybe like once a year for many years. And I just thought, I don't think jiu-jitsu is for me. And then when I started doing it with Alliance and Cobrina, it was just a game changer because for the first time I realized the art form of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I realized the breath, the discipline. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, I decided, Cobrina and I, together with Caesar, decided, all right, let's do a tournament. Now, I had no idea what I was entering into. What did you have in your mind as we were going down there?
Well, remember, Cobrina did, I mean, I have it on footage that Cobrina did announce this a while back, which is crazy to think that it came so fast.
Yeah.
I was more shocked that I was like, oh my God, it's here. Like the tournament that this week, like it flew by to the point where the tournament just came and went. But you did it. I was nervous. I was like, holy crap. Like I even looked at your opponents and I'm like, not that your opponents looked scary, but one of them, I was like, oh man, this guy looks like he could break someone, like break somebody. Like I was like, this is like intense. This shit looks.
And you know, it's going down. I was looking online because I'm a white belt. I have 4 stripes on my white belt. And it was really hard to find what it's like to go to your first jiu-jitsu tournament. And so like they said 2,400 people were a part of this tournament at Cal State Fullerton over the weekend. And you never know how many people are in your division because it's based upon your belt and your age and your weight class. And I was in the ultra heavyweight division, which is anyone above, I think, 225 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was in the age bracket of 40 to 45. So anyone above 225 pounds who was a white belt would be in my division. And there was 5 of us. And as I was going down there, I kind of was feeling like, not anxious, but more like, what is this? Like, I didn't know because they said it was outdoors. So I pictured being on the top of a parking structure with like concrete and mats on top. And then both of you, I mean, I think my first match was what, at 2 p.m.?
Yeah,
2 p.m.
on the dot.
Yeah, Caesar rolls in exactly at 2.
Yeah, it was like 1:54.
Yeah.
I pulled up like at 1:45.
Yeah. I was like, uh-oh, are they coming? And
I know you were thinking that. I was like, 2.
Hey, all you true crime fans, this is Mike Ferguson.
And this is Mike Morph.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to our podcast, Criminology.
Launched in 2017, we've covered a variety of strange cases from murders to missing persons. Some of the cases are ones you may not have heard of.
Other cases we cover are some of the most historic in true crime. There are 200 episodes of Criminology available to binge on right now. And new episodes come out every Saturday night.
Subscribe to Criminology today, wherever you listen to your podcast.
Okay, so we're officially giving the rundown of the experience.
Well,
this is it right here.
This is the experience.
I mean, all right, let's get it. So you pull up, you park.
I parked.
Mm-hmm.
And my teammate Tyler was competing at the 190 pounds. And so I went. I had to go to the bathroom so many times. I don't know if it was anxiety.
It happened with everybody.
I must have gone to the bathroom six times.
It happened with me until now.
I literally was like, all right, I drank a lot of water in the last 24 hours, but I peed so much that I was like, how did I have so much liquid in my body?
It's adrenaline.
Yeah, the adrenaline was going in and out, and then you line up, so you go in, and there's thousands of people there, and there's all of these tents, and in each tent, there's a number, and basically, you're assigned to a tent, and I went and saw my teammate Tyler's match, because we trained together, and he didn't have a coach. He was, I'm going to show up, I'm going to train. And his first match that I watched, I mean, the people were screaming.
Yeah, it's intense.
Like, yelling, like, telling the guy who's Tyler's fighting, like, break him down, rip off his leg, like, screaming. And I was like, oh, wow, like, this is no joke. And then Tyler, after his first match, was so dead, he couldn't even talk to me. He was, like, completely depleted. And he was like, dude, I don't know how I'm going to do another one. He's like, I'm so tired. And I was like, oh, okay. And eventually you go to your bullpen area to stretch. Mm-hmm. And so you basically line up with all the guys you're fighting, which it could be either really awkward.
It is.
Or really comfortable. I tried to say hi to everyone and shake their hand. You know, everyone sizes each other up. And I had a bye the first round. So one of the guys goes, I don't know how you got the bye. And bye basically means you don't have to, you fight one less fight.
Yeah, it's because when like that is, let's say five people. So in your bracket, so it's two against two. And you are like waiting who's going to pass. You was the lucky one waiting who's going to pass the first fight. They're going to fight with you. Usually like in like, bigger competitions is based by the ranking. Like if you're having more points on the ranking, you're gonna got the bye. But so as I guess that was like the first competition for everybody was on.
No, they all competed.
They all competed before.
Yeah, just not that. I know there's different points for different tournaments.
But I think on this competition, it's like there is a program who create the bracket, so it's kind of like lucky. They click and like they put the names. And click and
Caesar said you said it was awkward. Why is it awkward when you're in?
It's until like I think when the belts got up, I think the ego got up because you already know what it is. You already know who is who, and you're like when you got to this KO part, it's like I'm not gonna talk with you. That's my day. You know, like, I'm the champion right here. Like if you wanna talk, you talk with me. I'm gonna answer you, but I'm not gonna start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like with white belt, it's like everybody like, oh my God, like, oh hi. Maybe I'm gonna fight with you, you know? Or maybe with you. It's high, but like high, but you know, when it's there, it's fine. I like
that. So you're pretty much in this group with these guys.
Yeah, never you guys met aren't them there. Before. Yeah, and you guys aren't there. And then I'm like, okay, I know I asked a few people and they were like, you need to warm up. You gotta make sure you warm up. But there was nowhere to warm up. And so what I decided was to run to the bathroom again. So this time I'm jogging to the bathroom as part of my warm-up because you guys knew it was so hot outside.
It was hot. It was really hot. And like you was calling me like, oh, what should I bring on my bag? And I'm like, oh, this is this. Like, what time should I got there? I'm like, oh, this time is good. Like, should I bring my hash guard? I'm like, oh yeah, it's good. And then he called me like, what should I do for a warm up? I'm like, oh, I think he's nervous. What should
I
do?
You know what it is? I want to for anything I do for the, well, not just the first time, but in general, I like to prepare as much as possible so that if the outcome isn't amazing, I don't ever like going, well, I didn't prepare. Mm-hmm. So like if I didn't prepare, I feel like then there's a, I want to give no reason except like, oh, I need to get better.
Uh-huh.
But like if I, and so that was part of it was like, I didn't realize how intense the fights get so quickly either. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's, you feel the other people's energy.
Yeah.
And they're really intense.
Yeah. That's another thing about jiu-jitsu. Like we call it is like, with people who like don't know jiu-jitsu and they just see and they just hear about, they think it's a violent thing because it's a fight sport and you hear about jiu-jitsu and you think, I think the first things come to the mind of people who like don't know what is jiu-jitsu is like, oh, it's an aggressive sport, like jiu-jitsu, like is that a sport who the people have the ears like that? Like you think, what do they do for got the ear like that? It's
at least getting cauliflower ear where their ears look like, you know, they need to be popped in the liquid needs to come out.
Yeah, right? Like they think like, oh, it's at least aggressive. But which really is when you start to do jiu-jitsu, you figure out it's like it's a chess with your body, and like you have to be on the moment, you have to use the technique on the right moment, on the right time, and it is aggressive, but it's not just this. If you're just aggressive, it's you'll like lose, it's the easier opponent to get caught is the aggressive one,
right?
You know, so you need to think. It is literally a chess game with your body.
Yeah.
And
we had some words. We didn't have to use them. Like we had a move called the lasagna because it's called something else in jiu-jitsu. We had the acai, but we didn't have to use those moves. But first match, so I had the bye and I ended up going against a guy who had fought for 5 minutes before me.
Yeah.
And he won significantly by points.
Yeah. And I was seeing like, and I saw after his match, he was pretty tired.
He was tired.
And when I got there, like the last call you give me, like, what should I do for warm up? And I'm like, oh, do the exercise we do, the mobility drills. Yeah. And when I got there, he was like sweaty. And I'm like, I don't think he did mobility drills because he's so sweat for this. I'm like, what did you do for warm up? He's like, oh, I jogging there. And like, was pretty hot. I'm like, that's okay. It's his experience. Like, he's at least like he's warming up. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I saw the guy, and like the guy in the fight, like, I'm like, okay, the guy is like tired than him. Like, what he did was way worse than Mike's warm up. So we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first match happens for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. Why don't you give your play? Why don't you, as an outsider, Tony, who's not as familiar, give your play-by-play with the first match I had?
The first match was very just like, it was, in my eyes, it was quick.
Hell yeah, it was
quick. It was quick. Like, it started and it just was like, it started and it ended. I was like, wait, what just happened? And then the ref grabs them both, pulls them both by his side. And then he lifts Mike's arm up and I'm like, oh shit, Mike won. I'm like, damn, like that was intense, but I think he won by points and stuff like that.
No submission.
Submission. So then I was like, okay, cool. Like, bet. Like, here we go. We're going to, I thought that was it. For some reason, I thought we had no more fights. And then they go another fight.
Yeah. Happens. So the first fight, I basically got a guy in what's called a cross choke.
Cross choke from the close guard.
Which, like, I did, to me, I was going for this move, but normally I don't get this move. It's basically where you grab both collars. You wear a kimono, you wear pants, you either do jiu-jitsu with what's called a gi, which is a kimono, or no gi, which is just athletic wear. Mm-hmm. Or shirtless. And I ended up doing, I grabbed both of his collars and crossed my arms. And normally I do this move just as kind of like a distraction, but I think I had so much adrenaline that I just snatched it, turned, and the guy tapped. Nice. And so like in 30 seconds,
I think it was less than 30 seconds. Yeah. And I was impressed by like looking because before, like when I got there, you was like, your face was okay. You was calm. You like, you was just answering my question. You just didn't talk that much. I'm like, oh, he's pretty calm. He don't have any question for me now. Like, he's pretty calm. And like, I saw the guys like ended up the fight before you. And I'm like, you're the next. And you're like, oh, okay. Is it ready? I'm like, yeah, you're the next. And like you started and you followed the plan like really good. Because with white belts, when they like, oh, look, you're going to step forward, you're going to do this. Okay. When they got there, they step right. They like, they did completely, I don't know what's happening. And Mike like followed the plan. Like, I'm like, oh, you did the grips we trained. You did everything that we trained. And usually like when you feel like in your mind, it's always different than what's happening.
Yeah.
Like you feel like, oh, it's like it's hard to get people to use this technique, to get people caught on this technique on the gym. But because in the gym, you basically train with the same person.
Right.
So, but on the competition, it's different persons. And on their gym, they do different things. Still jiu-jitsu, but they usually use like different techniques. Usually white belts, they're going to follow the style of this their professor. Mm-hmm. And maybe their professor doesn't use this technique as much or don't trust in this technique as much. Because we believe for white belts, we have to start from the beginning. And the beginning is the basics. And if you do the basic really well, it's going to work. And some people, they don't trust on the basic. Like, that's too basic. And like, you follow our plan. You did the basic so good that you ended up a fight who's supposed to be 5 minutes in 20 or 30 seconds.
Killed
and me. I was, whoa.
And then all the other guys in my division were all like,
they was like,
eyes were wide open. I think I got the only submission of the day. And I did it within like 25 seconds. And like, they were all like, what just happened? Everyone's like, what just happened?
Yeah. I looked at everyone's reactions. They were just like,
oh. Into my head, it happened so easily. I had this voice go, you're a ninja. Like, it lasted for like half a second where I was like, oh, I'm a freaking ninja. Like, I don't know how that worked out. And so because there was only five people in a division and I got the bye, immediately after that match was the finals, which I was going against a guy who dominated his previous opponent.
And his previous opponent did his first move, which was our plan. And the guy like ripped him off. And I was like, damn, that's our plan. Like, the guy's kind of ready for our plan, but he don't know that's our plan. Like, should we change? And I'm like, no.
And the guy who I submitted was telling the other guy how I got him at the very beginning. He was like, he's going to do this, try to protect her this. They were talking to each other.
He was like, man, like, he won by me, but he's not going to be the champ, you know?
Dang.
Yeah. If he tried this,
he was giving him the intel.
Yeah, he was giving him the intel. And then, like, it kind of goes by so quickly. I didn't realize all your matches are all done within, like, an hour.
Less than, depending
like on how many minutes. People are in the division.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was like an all day event, but what happens is you'll fight and you could be fighting and it could go 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden you could go 8-10 minutes later, you're back to fighting again until you lose. And so this other guy was like, you know, pretty strong. And, you know, I looked over at Tony after I submitted him, and Tony's just like nodding his head.
Yeah.
After the first one. So I'm in the finals.
And that was what's impressing me because, like, what's your first competition before? Like, what's your first fight experience?
Yeah.
I mean, in a competition. And you for sure have so much adrenaline. And after you, like, you finish in 20 seconds, what I imagined was like, oh, he's going to scream. He's going to, like, and you're like,
yeah,
you just stand up like, oh, that's normal. I know it's gonna happen. I'm like, oh my god, he's confident.
He's like, I sweated.
Yeah, it was like whoa, oh, he's confident. That's good.
I was more annoyed that what they do is you wear a belt, but then they put an extra belt around you, and this one was like looks like the American flag, and I was annoyed because it was so small. So I just wanted to get that American flag belt off of me. It was
do some people though, whenever they win, are some people very just like, I don't want to use the word arrogant, but are they like,
yes.
Yeah. Like, are they like, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Screaming.
Yeah. Like, but Mike was over here calm. Mike was like,
really calm. Yeah. But sometimes it's not that they want to be arrogant. It's just they
let it out. You can't help it.
You can't help it.
It's just like you realizing like all the work you did on training, all the sweat, your diet, all everything working. Mm. So you're like putting out, you know?
Yeah.
It's not because like you're being arrogant against your opponent, you know? It's a thing with yourself. Like you want yourself.
But also I feel like if you're you're both like equally matched in technique, it comes down to who wants it more. Like whose will is not going to be broken. Uh-huh. And so I've noticed like when guys will break the other person's will, that's also when they're like pounding their chest and basically because they beat the guy because they just wouldn't give up. Because it's a sport where it's when you start to get in bad positions, you want to like you're instinctually when you get in a bad position, you go into like fight or flight. But in jiu-jitsu, you have to like keep it together, keep your calm. And so I tried to stay like really calm. And yeah, you were saying that I was so calm even leaning into the final match, right?
Yes, like you did pretty good. And the guy, you as soon as the match started, I think you get was head to head.
Yeah, we headbutted. So he was bleeding.
And, okay, and so this is the second, this is the final fight.
This
final
is the finals. I'm in the finals.
And mind you, when you're lining up, when you're facing off with this guy, I'm like, oh, damn, this is going to be intense. This guy looks like a beast. He looked like a beast. I was like, all right, cool, here we go. And it started in it.
When before I started, I was like, I don't know, but I was thinking like in all the possibilities because sometimes it's create like, I know what Mike will handle. Like we talking about this before, like if you lost, it's okay. We're going to keep training. You know, you just do this for fun. It's like, you're not a fighter, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, how he gonna handle if he lost, you know, because he's dedicated to jiu-jitsu. He do private class. He trains even on Sundays. So I want him to win, like to feel the taste like, oh, it worth it, you know? Even it's not his purpose, like to do for the competitions, but to his see, like it worth it. All the hard work he put on the jiu-jitsu. But on the other side, like I saw the guy was as big as him, as strong as him, and had a good jiu-jitsu as well, because on his first fight, the guy dominated
him.
And I was like, oh my God, how it's going to be if he lost? I'm like, okay, I'm not going to send this negative energy. I trust in my guy. Man. Let's go, Mike.
I didn't even think that was an option. I honestly didn't even think about you losing.
That's
not cool. not to like really sound that like, but I honestly didn't even think you were going to lose. I was like, he's going to win. Like going to this tournament, I was like, he's going to win. I think because you're trained with like the best. I'm like,
yeah, but you know, these guys, they're at their gym and they see their trainer as the best. Like everyone thinks their professor's the best. Yeah, like everyone thinks that, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, it's almost like my professor in my school, you know,
for sure.
Like it's your team.
Yeah,
it's literally team. You be a part of a team and like your team has a history and you trust in this history and facts.
And then all the Brazilians at the gym now at Alliance, like this guy Fabio started it where they call me Mikeyno, which is little Mikey in Portuguese. I said I wanted a nickname. It was either that or like Maji, you know, which is like wizard in Portuguese. I think it's Maji, right?
Magico.
Yeah. Maji. Is Maji wizard? Maji?
Mago,
that's right. So, and then Caesar's like, are you ready? Right before the final match. And I'm like, ooh, I already am going to, the worst case scenario, I'm going to get a silver. I'm going to get second place. But I'm like, I came here to win.
And you told me, this, like, I came here to win. I'm like,
that's what I don't just say too much, right? Like, I think Caesar's like, are you ready? And then I said to him, they call me Mikeyno, right? Like, that's what I said right before. And then we went out and the guy was definitely better than the previous guy. Mm-hmm. And he was strong. And I tried my first move. I kind of got it. Kind of was like off balance and felt like I was in some positions that I wasn't accustomed to. Like I wasn't used to being someone like normally I'll do a certain pass or a certain sweep and I could get it, especially against the white belt. I feel like I can get it. Mm-hmm. But this guy didn't like get it fully. And then it was so intense that we like headbutted, then he's bleeding everywhere.
You guys both headbutted each other, or yeah. You headbutted him?
He claims it was my knee, but it was my head because my head hurt. Like,
Because I saw blood start gushing from him, and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's because like in jiu-jitsu, also like it's about your professor when you're gonna be promoted. So, and some schools have kind of like a system, but it's basically like you're not gonna be more than like 1 year and a half on the white belt. But in a competition, you can fight against a white belt who is like 2 months, or you can fight against a white belt who is already training for 1.5 years. So, and they, a white belt who is like training for 1.5 years, they're basically almost like a blue belt, you know? And sometimes if the white belt lost a lot in the competition, the professor is, and he likes to compete, the professor is going to let him on the white belt as much as he can to refuse the taste of winning. And what's happened sometimes, like, let's say, we don't know, but the guy, we can see he have experience. He know what he was doing. And I was afraid just to the first part, because our first movement of our plan, because was what the guy on previous fight did with him, and he handled it so good. I'm like, okay. And you shaked him, you did your grips, you didn't was like, it's not afraid, it's like you didn't was like, you didn't want to do that, like anything quick. So it bats me some safe. I'm like, okay, he know what he's doing. He's feeling the guy.
Yeah, I was feeling the guy.
Yeah. And like jiu-jitsu, it's like, it's a fight sport. I don't know how I explain this to someone who never did. It's like in a competition, it's like you, like jiu-jitsu, we used to say in Brazil, like jiu-jitsu is the truth. Because when you're going to train, first, for who don't know, like first we start to the sparring on jiu-jitsu, we have to shake hands. We call the clap and boom. And on this, you already feel the energy of the guy. And while you start to training, like you feel if the guy is like angry, if he want to hurt you, if he just want to win, even if he's like sad, you can, it's like, just if you do jiu-jitsu, you will feel this. Like you can feel the energy of the guy because it's just you and another guy. And when it's a competition, it's like everybody's seeing this. You're like, you are the point. Everybody's looking at you. And it's lots of things going in your mind. And so for you handle this and like you try, you have a plan and the guy, like you already know that the guy, it's good against your plan. And you did really good. You was feeling the guy, you was shaking him. And then happened the headbutt.
And he started bleeding.
I had so much adrenaline at some point that I felt like I like couldn't breathe right. And I felt almost like I blacked out for like 30 seconds to a minute with time. And then I felt like we had already gone 5 minutes and I looked at the clock and there's 3.5 minutes left. I was like, oh my God, I've only been doing this for a minute and a half. And then the guy was bleeding. And then the doctor had to come out and take a look at it.
Yeah. And I feel this on this time. I feel that you was like out of breath. And I know it was adrenaline because on the gym, you train for like 30 minutes,
yeah, 40 sure.
minutes. And 1 minute, I know it like, and I like, Mike, breathe. Like,
yeah.
And I was doing the breathe, like, look at me. And I was doing the breathing so you can just imitate me. Like, and you're like, you look at me and like, you was with me. Like we was fighting
it's
together.
It's interesting too. Like anything that we have that, whether it's speaking on a stage or a big event or a big meeting, breath and breathing is so important with everything. You know, it's like whether we're lifting weights or whether we're going into a big meeting or a big phone call, getting centered, you know, having a meditative energy is just so important. And so like, it's helpful. You were so helpful because you coached me through it. And ultimately I ended up winning and I won gold, which basically is first place.
And, got the big win.
Got
the big win. I was like, oh shit. I was so happy. But I had to, even myself, I had to like compose myself. I was like, I can't just be out here like, yeah, hell yeah, Mike. Like, I was like, let me just calm because all the competitors
actually,
are still here.
You can. That his is family are
still here. I don't know. I was like, let me just keep it cool. Let me just keep it calm. But inside I was like, fuck yeah, man. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
I was happy too, because I said, hey, after the tournament, let's record this podcast. What a suck to have in second, or, you know, like feeling like I lost and I could have won. And so, you know, it was just super exciting. And it was so helpful to have you there reminding me, because there was just, again, it was like when I'm standing up and the guy's got 240 pounds hanging on my body and you're like, put your elbow in, put your elbow in, put your elbow in. Enough times you say it, I'm like, because in jiu-jitsu, you literally get trapped where you don't even know what you're supposed to do. Uh-huh. And if you make a wrong move, you could end up in a really bad position. Uh-huh. And even if you don't get submitted, it's like you can be in pain. Like, mm-hmm. it's painful.
It is.
When someone's putting all their weight on top of you, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah. And I have a question for you. How yeah. was the day after your body you was feeling like?
I felt pretty good. I think, interestingly, I didn't, because the first match was so quick. Mm-hmm. That day of the tournament, I went to the gym with my buddy and I worked out but I know other tournaments, it's not going to be like that. I think I kind of had a rare moment in terms of like just having two matches and the first going so quickly.
I think you prepare yourself, right? And that was the prize.
Yeah, know? I was like eating right before, drinking a lot of water, listening to certain music. It was so funny. I was listening to Sirius Satellite Radio and there was this one song that's not even that good, but now it's in my head. And I was like, this is my theme song. This is my theme song. The universe is playing the song for me. So I played it like 10 times as I'm driving down there, because it took like an hour and a half, you know? But thank you both for coming out.
Yeah, of course. And I'm curious, just maybe asking this, is there anything as a life coach that you can take from this experience, like from this jiu-jitsu, from this tournament, that you can apply to anybody's daily life?
Yeah, well, one big takeaway for me entering this jiu-jitsu tournament is you're never too old to start anything. Mm. And I think that it's an excuse that a lot of people use, no matter what age they are. And so it doesn't mean I'm going to be a professional fighter. It just means that I can compete and push myself. And so one takeaway is, in order to get better at something, you have to start. And as long as we don't compare ourselves to others, mm-hmm. and we compare ourselves to like the version of ourselves a week before or a month before, that's definitely one takeaway. Also, just to prepare. You know, preparation is so important with everything, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be a podcast or whether it be a jiu-jitsu match, preparation is key, and having fun. You know, I was cracking jokes throughout it, mm-hmm. because I'm doing it to have fun. If I go to a tournament and I'm not smiling at different times or curious, mm-hmm. or anything like that, then I'm not doing the right sport, because life's about having fun. This isn't that serious. You know, even if I didn't get first and I got second, it's a memory. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've done. And, you know, I was even really impressed by a few of the other guys in the division that we had, because they were like, you know, really pushing themselves. Like I think there was another guy, I didn't roll with him, had only been doing it a few months. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's just whatever it is in life, in order to kind of master something, we have to practice for thousands of hours. Yes. And I also felt, even my relationship to Caesar, in a weird way for me, I felt closer to you after the tournament,
yeah.
because I followed your direction and it was so helpful to be like coachable. You know, even as a life coach, it's like, how coachable am I when I'm in panic? Uh-huh. And that taught me that when you ask for help, you know, asking for help for like depression is the same as asking for help doing jiu-jitsu. You need to follow someone else's plan, mm-hmm. that they're recommending. And if you think you know what's best for yourself, your plan eventually is going to end up in like, you know, falling down face down. So
any takeaways from you, Caesar, like after going to any tournaments or,
I think Mike did pretty good. He followed the plan. I think lots of people's asking me like, oh, you like to be a teacher? Like, is it bad? Like, how is it to be a teacher, I'm sure you have like some students who is like hard to teach. Like, what's like the point to teach? And I always say, like, I like to teach. I love to teach. But who I like to teach is who want to learn. Because, you know, like, even I teach kids and I teach Mike. So, and there's some kids, they're just there because their parents put it there. Mm. And eventually they are seeing, and these kids are pretty hard to teach because they don't want to be there. But their parents want them to be there.
Mm.
But eventually they are in a place who there's another kids who started like this, but their life already changed, and it's a cool place for them. They're like in counting the time to be there, like, oh, I have jujitsu tomorrow, mom. You know, they like, we have like, for kids, we have like games as well. But with adults, like, the game part is the fight part. It's when you put the technique, the sparring part, you know, it's when you put the technique and the thing. And Mike, it's so coachable. And I learn with him because I am a teacher. I am a professor, a jiu-jitsu professor, but I am a student. I'm like still taking class with my professor who is like Cobrinha. I am a jiu-jitsu competitor. I go to tournaments as well. And I'm a black belt jiu-jitsu. I'm a Cobrinha black belt. But we need to have in jiu-jitsu that we call, and I think it's in life, that we call the white belt mentality. That we are always there to learn. We always can learn with life situations.
Yeah.
And that's the white belt mentality. Because when you got to the jiu-jitsu, you are white belt. So you are there, you don't know nothing about jiu-jitsu. So you are there to learn.
Mm. I'm in better shape than I've ever been in because of doing jiu-jitsu. I used to lift weights all the time, you know, 5 days a week. The truth is, like, as we get older, it helps to know how to protect ourselves. You know, I didn't know how to protect myself. I would have like clawed somebody, you know, like I would have thrown a punch, and hopefully I'll never have to throw a punch in my life. But if I was a parent, I would be getting my kids into jiu-jitsu because some of them are going to like it. And even if they don't love it, at least they learn how to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Because we live in a day of time with humans where there's a lot of crazy humans out there.
Yeah.
And as our kids get older, you know, remember all these high school fights?
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the, if you know jiu-jitsu, you're not looking to pick a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're just like totally, you know, there's always a rogue random person that just, you know, that has a whole set of issues. But people who know how to fight, from my experience, they're not the ones picking fights.
Yeah. Like I started jiu-jitsu with 15 years old, and my parents put me into jiu-jitsu because I fought every day in the street. Like, literally every day. Because in favela, it's like this. It's like, why are you looking at me? And the fight start. Like, because like, I realized after when I get adult, like, I was like, because you know things you do and something like, oh my God, I was so dumb. Like, I started fighting because this. But then I started realizing, like, why? Because it still happened there. If you go there, and like in Brazil, soccer is so popular. So everybody has a soccer ball, and we play soccer everywhere. We put two flip-flops, and that's the goal. And we have to shoot the ball through the, so, and soccer, there's fights every time in Brazil. And I used to fight every day. And I was not that good in fights. And I don't have a brother. That's one thing. If you have a brother, your brother, even if you're not good in fight, your brother will defend you. So I don't have a brother.
Yeah. And the majority of fights, fist fights. Are over hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
The majority are literally people who have not dealt with their feelings. They haven't resolved. Because if you think about it, if someone fights someone else, it's because they're offended or disrespected. To be, quote, disrespected means that your feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It gets masked into macho, like, don't disrespect me. But what they're really saying is, you hurt my feelings and I can't deal with it.
Exactly.
So now I need to fight you. What? Grow up.
It's true.
I feel like people who fight and they think they're like badasses for being disrespected, and you'll see it in culture. Somehow people don't talk about those are the biggest, softest, most sensitive people are the people who are picking street fights.
That is true.
Because why are you feeling so hurt that you need to go punch someone?
People get crazy, but really quick, because we're pretty much out of time. Before we wrap this up.
Tangent.
No worries. Before we wrap this up, Mike, what's next? Is there another tournament coming up?
Well,
is
there's Worlds in Las Vegas, and I don't know if it's that next or if we're going to do another tournament before that, but
I think we can do one open before and then Worlds. Yeah, but just closing up before. So I was saying, like, lots of fights start because, like, in favela, because, like, why are you looking at me? And I realized before, like, these kids have so much problems inside home, like their parents fights, like sometimes they just have their mom and they feeling weak because they don't have with who talk it. And they feeling weak inside. They have all this problem and sometimes they're on their mind. And then they see someone looking at they and they think the other person are seeing all their weaknesses and they have. And they don't want them to see, like, I don't want you to look my weak. And I'm like, what you're looking? But by the way, the other person is weak too. And like, they don't want to look weak and they start to fight. And like, it's all like about conversation. And jiu-jitsu can help you with this because your professor are always there to hear you, to listen you, and to help you to get better. Yeah. Because you need a good like mental health to fight jiu-jitsu. You need a mental game. So jiu-jitsu is going to build your mental game as your body. You're going to build your body. You're going to be more healthy. And like, I think that's just advantage.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Start jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for reconnecting with me, being so supportive. I got to admit, both of you being present was helpful. Even you, Tony. I got to look over. I'm like, I don't want to do Tony wrong either. Tony knows how much I've been doing this, but for anyone listening, please make sure to click to subscribe. Also, I'm going to be uploading my fights on my YouTube channel, so make sure you check those out. And until next time, keep it magical.
This has been a Stage 29 podcast production. The podcast is executive produced by Patty Ciano, Lafern Cusack, and Stephanie Kaysen. Our audio editors are Jackson Ruff and Jonathan DeMatti. Callie Kiltz is the social media producer. And a special thanks to the rest of our podcast crew, Rwani Horenigay, William Cusack, Lisa Clark, Katie Brown, and Morgan Kaler.
The Always Evolving with Coach Mike Bear podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional, medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnoses, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during this podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professionals.